It's the Agribusiness Report. Today, we rewind the clock. We go back 5 years to visit with the then chairman of the House Ag Committee from Georgia, the late David Scott. He passed away on Wednesday. We'll hear that conversation in a moment. First off, Texas Representative Henry Cuellar on broadband.
The work that we do, it's funding for our farmers, for our ranchers, rural development, small business development, also for the rural areas, nutrition programs, food banks, school lunches, as you know, for the schools, and telemedicine and broadband access. You know, Tony, one of the things that we learned from this pandemic was that we had deficiencies in broadband. A lot of people thought that it was only in the rural areas, but it's also in the urban areas. So we just got to do a lot better when it comes to broadband.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Representative David Scott from Georgia. Chairman, great to see you.
Oh, it's great to see you too, Tony, and I'm delighted to be with you and the All Ag Radio Network. This is my first time, and so I'm quite honored that you've got me on.
Well, we've watched you for years and the work that you've done and the bipartisan spirit that you've brought to this House Ag Committee and the passion you've brought to it as well. As we've moved into this pandemic, mm-hmm. we had to find new ways to do things. Yeah. And with that, we found maybe how lacking our rural broadband really was.
Yeah.
Has that been a focus?
Oh, absolutely. It is one of my number one major challenges for all of us. But we have got to bring rural broadband. Look, Tony, our whole agriculture industry is at stake. Our position and standing in the world is at stake. It is that plain and simple. We have 24 million of our rural fellow Americans without broadband connection in the heart and the soul of our agriculture industry. It's in rural America. And it is a shame that we don't have our farmers, our food producers, the people who provide us with our water, with our shelter, with our clothing, all the basic necessities of life, and they're not connected to the internet. We're not going to be able to handle other issues, climate change, disaster aid. I mean, all of precision agriculture. Technology is it. That is almost, and quite honestly to me, it is an unpardonable sin that we have not connected rural America to the internet. And I say that very seriously. I was born in a rural community, Aynor, South Carolina, years ago. And we had no running water, but the people in the city had it. We had no electricity, lamps, kerosene lamps, but the people in the cities have it. It's almost the same thing right now. With internet, it is. People in the cities, everywhere, that's where the growth is. So I am determined to make this happen. I've got a bill moving, which I had, if you recall, I think it was my first hearing, if not, I think it was my first hearing. And I brought everybody in. I brought the National Electronic and folks in. I brought all the experts in that put together internet and connect folks. And I wanted to have that hearing so I could get from them what it is, how long it would take. And I did volumes of research on my own. I stayed on the internet looking at where it was. I came up with the plan. I knew that we had to have different types because agriculture is all over our country. Geography makes it different. Wyoming is far different than Georgia or Delaware. All our states are unique. But here's the thing. In 12 states, and I brought my plan back, 85% of these 24 are in just 12 states. And so I wanted to be specific there and move out. And so anyway, when I had my hearing, I asked the experts, what would it cost? I did that for a reason. And you all covered that hearing, I believe. And the expert, one expert said, $60 billion to do it, Mr. Chairman. And it went on, and another one said, $150 billion, which says this, we don't know. But I wanted to put a time frame on it that we could get it done by a certain time. And when you put a time frame on it, and you put that time frame into law, and then you get the amount of money that you really need. And so I got a bill where we've got the time frame in. I hope to get this bill marked up before the August break so that we know how much it's going to cost, where it's going, and I want to do it before this year ends, because next year's budget starts October 1. And then we could have that. And then a date certain. I'm willing to say the date certain to get it to all 24 people. Could be we could work on that. I don't want to put it so tight we can't get it done. But by the same token, we have experts all over the place with the amount of money and where we go. So the legislation is to gear us together. Stop talking about it and say, here's what we want to do now. We know where the 24 million people are. And so hopefully we can get that bill out. Stay tuned. We are going to bring rural broadband to our rural communities. Our farmers deserve it. It's a part of our food security.
By the way, congratulations on being the new chairman of the House Agriculture Committee from Georgia. Mm-hmm. And as we conclude, just a couple of minutes left, but an opportunity, we've obviously identified broadband, mm-hmm. but are there a couple of other areas that you're focused on?
Yeah, I am really focused on the rural broadband, climate change, getting a disaster aid bill that is apart from the regular appropriations process. That ain't working. You get the money too late. People don't. We've had a rash of suicides among our family farmers. I was born on a farm, as I told you. That farm means so much to a family. And then when you see it just crumble before your eyes, the heartbrokenness. And because we couldn't get the money down, they just gave up. And so many committed suicide there. The record is clear on that, particularly our dairy farmers. And so I want to set that bill up where we can set aside and have the Secretary of Agriculture have him a little fund set aside where we can, at least when the storms are raging, the fires are coming, the floods, and our farmers need that help now, not next year. Some had to wait 2 years. Some of them ain't even got the aid yet. And so I think we got a good argument for that. Another one is the status of our black farmers. Look, Tony, just this past week, we had this group that's out there trying to destroy black farmers. They've got a now this suit in to the court system to take away and deny the little help we're giving to our farmers, the $4 billion for loan forgiveness. Now, keep in mind why this is so poignant. White farmers own 98% of all the farmland. Black farmers own just 1%. Why in the hell you want to stop Secretary Vilsack from and Congress and the President of the White House. We responded, because if these African-American farmers don't get the help to pay down that loan, they're going to lose their farms. Who's going to get that land? White farmers. It is terrible. It is wrong. And I've looked at it and I've examined it, and it's coming from folks that have another political agenda. So we have got to lift up and maintain that. And as the first African-American chairman of the Agriculture Committee, I cannot and I will not let this rest. We cannot, and I'm sure our white farmers, a lot of them, are on our side. They know. They know the sacrifices. They know the vast role of contribution from slavery to Jim Crow throughout our history. We have given and been the backbone of the labor force that founded and laid the foundation for our wonderful world of agriculture through slavery, through Reconstruction, through all of the period, and all the way struggling. But for the white farmers now to have 98% of the farmland in our country, and the African-American farmers just one little 1%, and they come up with these suits in the courts. So we got to fight that.
It's so good to see you.
Great seeing you, too.
And we wish you the best as you continue through this congressional session. And we'll watch with anticipation the success that's coming right along with you.
Well, we will. And thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's the Honorable Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, David Scott from Georgia, on the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report, our conversation with former chairman of the House Ag Committee, the late David Scott, who passed away on Wednesday. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Again, our interview with the late David Scott from 5 years ago when he was chairman of the House Ag Committee. He's passed away at the age of 80. He was first elected to Congress in 2012. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report, U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer.
Think about the pandemic in recent history. Wasn't a war, but there were supply chain snarls and logistics challenges. And for a time, we couldn't get enough semiconductor chips that we use in cars, so we couldn't make cars. The same types of chips go into satellites and weapon systems and things like that. What about pharmaceuticals? During the pandemic, there were a lot of countries that locked down the export of pharmaceuticals. So we have... you know, fundamental advanced manufacturing and basic manufacturing like steel and other things that we have to have here. Are we going to import? Of course we're going to import. It's not autarky we're talking about, but we have to have resilient supply chains where we can provide for ourselves. If there's a pandemic, if there's a war, if something else happens, we have to be able to have those resilient supply chains, not just-in-time supply chains like we like to have, but ones that actually provide for the security of the American people.
It's the Agribusiness Report.